Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, and welcome back to another episode of Connected and Committed Podcast.
Yes, welcome back. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening or watching. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are, I guess, faithful followers or listeners
yeah,
or spectators, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been we had an episode 2 weeks ago on Valentine's Day that week. We didn't have one last week since I was sick, so thank you for all who wished me get well. Is that how you say it? It's a little coffee, sorry. Who said get better and wished me just kind of like good thoughts, I guess. I really appreciate it. And during that time, we were in Madeira, Portugal, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
But there was a lot going on during that time that we're actually going to talk about today.
Okay, you said, I feel like the way you said that is like there's a lot going on, not for us, but...
Oh, sure. Not a lot going on
in the world, I guess.
A lot going on in the world, specifically TikTok. For those who have not been hearing like the hype of TikTok right now, Risa Tisa is the topic we're talking about today, because I think it's actually not, we're not just going to talk about like, ooh, this juicy episode or juicy series. It was more... we just kind of want to actually relate it to things that we talk about, because I think that she did. I was watching it at first, then Matthew joined, because you thought it was interesting.
No,
right?
I enjoyed it, and then I stopped towards the end because it was just getting repetitive for me personally. I thought it was getting repetitive, but that's just my perspective.
It wasn't repetitive at all. I think that it was so well done. I think you just got to the point where there were so many lies being exposed that you were like, okay, wow. And I think you were just done.
Me? Yeah. I was just like, okay. Yeah. Everything was a lie basically. And I was just done. I was like, hey, I understand. Everything is a lie. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I thought it was, excuse me. I thought it was really, really good. Really well done. The way she told the story was so well, so articulate and beautiful. And I am so happy that the things that are happening for her right now are going really well, and she's getting everything that she wants, which I'm really happy about. But what we do want to talk about is specifically how what she was experiencing has nothing to do with relationship anxiety. And I want to make that clear, because we have a lot of people come to us, and a lot of people are saying, I'm so afraid that I'm gonna get married, and then something like they're going to switch up, right? Or I'm going to get married, and then suddenly all these things are going to be found out. Like, how do I know I'm looking for the right things? And am I wrong? Or am I feeling something? Yeah. Is anxiety a sign? Like, all these things. And so we broke down three things of what she talked about specifically. And she was very clear. She was so open and honest, and be like, even if it makes me look bad, I'm going to be very open about what I was thinking and why I responded the way that I did and all the things, which was really helpful. But we're just gonna jump into that and talk more about that today. Yeah,
I'm ready.
Let's go.
I think you have you wrote down a few things, mm-hmm. and it was it's interesting.
Yeah. So one thing for sure, a lot of the times when we're feeling anxiety, we are thinking, okay, what if these thoughts are signs? What if these thoughts are something that's leading me? I'm feeling some sort of discernment. I'm feeling some sort of intuition or something. And then it kind of gets into a spiral frenzy. For her, she made it very clear that was not the case for her. She wasn't feeling like, ooh, I don't know if this is like, I'm feeling something that might be like wrong, or I'm feeling a little anxious. Maybe that's why I'm feeling it. She had straight up facts, guys, like straight up facts as to why she was feeling what she did. And she even said she ignored them. So one of the things that I wanted to say that makes this situation so different than if you're experiencing relationship anxiety is, one, she had a red flag and she ignored it. And she said she ignored it. If a lot of the times we have anxiety, there's this thing of like, oh my gosh, am I like, I'm trying to search for evidence, but there's no evidence, but it's kind of like, I might be feeling something. That's completely different things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that pure like relationship anxiety, it just relies on nothing evident and is just like based on suspicions or mm-hmm. And to me, I don't even know if it's suspicions. It's more like a completely made up scenarios.
Right. Or even in a dream, you're like, oh, does that mean something? Or you're reading into things that maybe has meaning, you think has meaning, but doesn't really have any meaning. There's no evidence or facts that lead up to that thought.
I'd say obviously we're, for people that we work with mostly, they will say that they're in a relationship that's pretty healthy and good. So the fact that, you know, you can label your relationship as healthy for me is if you struggle with anxiety, is most likely a sign that you're probably making up a lot of things, or like your mind is making up a lot of things. Since in this situation, there was a clear, I mean, not just one, but probably a few red flags that she ignored. But obviously there's more to that, but it's, there's evidence. There's, I guess, what do they say? Receipts
for, receipts
for the red flags, not just something that is made up.
And there's going to be some spoilers, I guess, here. So if you have not seen it or you're wanting to watch it, I won't go into specifics, but there was, before they even got married, there was a time where she found evidence of, he literally blatantly told a bold-faced lie in front of her face, like multiple times about this house situation. And she found out that this house that he was trying to get, or he said that he put an offer for, he never put an offer for or anything like that. But he found out that, like, she found that the house was on, like, was closed. Is that how it happens? Like,
it was off the market.
It was off the market. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay. And he said it was because he got it. She found out that some other couple, completely different couple, got the house.
Yeah.
And she was going to bring it up to him. And she said she made the decision, I'm not going to confront this lie because I want to be married. I want to be married. I don't want to confront it. Is this as big of a deal? Yeah. But also at the same time, like, he made something up. She didn't confront it. She chose to let it go. She said, I actively chose to let that go. And in that moment, if she would have confronted that, she already knew he was lying, right? For some people that already been like, okay, why would you lie about something so, like, why, you don't need to lie about that, right? Like, if you're lying about that, what else are you lying about?
There's a lot.
There's so much more he found out that he was lying about. But
well, he's making up stuff too, which is the worst, because it's like, it's one thing to say that you put an offer in, but like, then he gave excuses
as to why he's pulling out.
Why he's pulling out. Because she did tell him, like, no, she did tell him. That's why he was pulling. He said, no, I'm pulling out.
She waited. She didn't say anything. She waited for him to say something. He's like, hey, by the way, like, she's like, I know he's gonna make something up. And he's like, the interest rates seem a little high. Yeah. My friend said we should pull out. And she's like, okay.
So he just made up, like, complete, like, lies. Yep. Scenarios that are just not even remotely close to the being the truth.
Right. And she didn't confront it. And that right there is, like, not even the sense of, like, am I feeling something? There was something right in her face that she didn't say something about. When she said, she's very open about that. And she didn't confront it. So very different than relationship anxiety. Because, like, as Matthew was saying, relationship anxiety is based off of, like, no evidence. It's just kind of like this anxiety feeling that makes things feel real. But this was actually evident of something going on. And also, I want to give a background. The reason why we're doing this episode too, because I can see a lot of people who follow us seeing this series and then freaking out and being like, what if?
Same for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's interesting.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to do this episode because I think it's going to be helpful to be like, oh, okay, this is a whole different situation. This does not reflect anything at all what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was step one.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that this episode is even just not just to help people who maybe were triggered by that, but also like help people figure out like what are some things that I need to pay attention to when it comes to like choosing someone, you know, because it's like, it's not just like, oh, okay, well, if you were triggered, don't worry, this doesn't concern you because of this and this and this. The more well, we don't want you to be triggered by that, by what's going on with that story. But also, this could be good information for you when it comes to like choosing someone who would be a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. 'Cause I think that actually goes to my second point. She mentioned that she is a believer.
Yeah.
And something of a value of hers was not to move in with somebody at all until she was married. Mm. It was just a value of hers. Like, that's her own thing. She knew that's something she didn't want to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of factors, like COVID happened. From what she was told at this time, he was a VP of a company a manager at a company, moving to VP soon. He had a lot of money. He was just in the process, because he just came from California. This is what he was told. Watch it if you want to. He just came from California. He was in the process of buying a new home. Hence why he was in between his studio apartment. He's like, we should quarantine together. After this, we're going to buy a house together. And then we can have like a future together. And so she mentioned like, I really want to be married. And so what did I do? I didn't listen to like my own values. Mm-hmm. I knew that I didn't want to like move into with somebody before I got married. But I was like, you know what? This is my time. I want to be married. Fine. I'll just push that down and we'll just move in together and call it good. So her family for a while didn't know they were living together. It was kind of just like, okay, this thing. Okay.
Her family didn't know a lot of things.
Right. Which comes up later. But I think that's one thing too, because we talk about a lot of, you know, your values aligning. Your values aligning is really important, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that if your values don't align, it's an easier, we'll say, battleground for your relationship anxiety to move on, because you're like, oh my gosh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, is this okay? This is not, yeah. I don't know. Is this something you want to do? Is this something that actually like aligns with something that's going to make sense for us in the future? I was told I believe this. Does that make sense? Like, whatever. Whether you were told values, whether you believe in your values, you just have to be very clear about what your values are, period, yeah. Right? And then stick to them.
Yeah, and I think, I will say this, though. I think for some values, maybe they're not always aligned fully, but you have to respect each other. Mm. So mm-hmm. if the woman or the man that you're with might have slightly different values when it comes to certain things, it doesn't mean that like, oh, that's a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Because you have different upbringing and different background, you know, it's, and so for me, it's like, as long as like there's respect, like a mutual respect, that's good. You know, if you don't feel like you're compromising yourself, or, cause obviously you need to have boundaries. You're not compromising yourself. You're not, you know, they're not stepping on your boundaries or like things like that, then it's fine. Cause for us, like, you had, before we were dating, one of your, I guess, boundaries or whatever was that you didn't want to kiss mm-hmm. before marriage, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I used to have that, but I didn't have it anymore because for me, it was also because a lot of things happened for me because it was religious reasons that were not great. But then we ended up kissing when we were dating mm-hmm. and I never like forced you into it. I never was like, oh, we should really kiss. Like, it would really be really nice. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I never really stepped on your boundaries and stuff. Cause I respected you. But you decided on your own mm-hmm. kind of to change that because you realized like, oh, I think for me, that boundary I had was because also other reasons.
Yeah. And I think that's helpful to bring that up. I had my past relationship, as I've talked about multiple times in the podcast, was really unhealthy and toxic and not great. And so I think at that time, that conviction was really high, and probably for a reason. I think mm-hmm. if we would have kissed, he would have taken more advantage and it would have been really bad. And so I hadn't dated in a while after that. And then I met you, and then I was kind of like, oh, good. This is the thing I'm still standing by. Like, I don't want to kiss until I'm married. I got something I've always thought about. And I think too, was kind of like, oh, I'm going to feel like, I don't know. It was also,
you were scared.
And not that. It was more like, I think I was kind of like, oh, wow, it was kind of some pride thing too. Like, I'm better than everybody else, which is not okay. But I think I was like, I'm not kissing anybody. I'm sticking to this thing. And it was this thing. And then I met you and I was like, do I even want to keep that? I don't know anymore. And so I prayed about it and really processed through that. And I was like, okay, I think for that time period, it was necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary now.
Yeah.
And so then I am the one that initiated afterwards. I'm like, hey, like, whenever you're ready, I do feel like I do want to kiss you, mm-hmm. whatever. And then you're like, okay, cool. Then you took that and ran with it. But I think that that's, you're right. I do think that for your values, we could have different values.
Yeah.
I do think that there's some values that people have. There's probably values we all have that are like, if we do not align in this, this is a deal breaker, right? And we all should know what that is for us, right? For our own selves. My values are going to be different than what your values are. It's going to be different than what your friend's values are. It's going to be different mm-hmm. from the person across the street. That doesn't matter on what, if our values are different, as long as you are aware of what your own values are and that you stand firm with them, because it's going to feel good for you to know that like I stuck to that because it mattered to me. Like if a value is that strong to you, because it matters to you, right? Like some, we can have values if it just matters, but If you have a different value to this, is that a deal breaker? Absolutely not, right?
Like, I think that some values are definitely bigger than others, that's for sure. Like, sure. Obviously, like, not moving in before we're married or not having sex before married, like, those are, I think those are really big ones that, like, you need to align on. Mm-hmm. And it's necessary to find someone who aligns with that. You know, I think
that's, or even at least respects it, I should even say.
Or respects it. Yeah, maybe completely. Maybe someone who's like, oh, I don't see why living together would be a problem, but because you don't want to do it,
right.
I would respect that.
Totally, you know? Totally.
That's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously, you need to know your why as well, you know, mm-hmm. of why you have those values. You know, it's also what, how you can make a difference between a value that is actually a good one that's protecting you or a value that's just coming from maybe a trauma or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. wrong reasons. Cause there's probably values that we have that sometimes are like, oh, I thought that was a value, but it was just something that I started believing in because of something that was wrong. Mm. And now it's not serving me anymore.
Totally.
But I think that's
a whole different another podcast. Yeah, we're going to a different... That's really good. And we can maybe pin on that if that's something you guys want to hear more about. But yeah, I agree. So, sticking to Reese Tisa's story, that is something that was different for her too. She didn't follow through something that she knew she really valued,
yeah.
but she kind of let it go to compromise for this huge desire to be married. And before I even get to the last point, I'm just looking at my notes real quick. I do want to say this too. This huge desire to be married, I think I had it. For sure. And I don't think I had it so desperately with you. I mean, sorry, that's not true. I knew I really wanted to be married even when I was with you. Mm-hmm. But I will say that big desire to be married, as she talked about throughout her story, made it very easy to ignore a lot of things.
But I think it turned into desperation.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I think that's the thing.
And that's when...
Desire turns desperation, that's when it's not good.
Yeah, that's when it's like you're operating from the wrong place. You're operating from a place of lack. You're operating from a place of scarcity and fear. Mm-hmm. And that's not how you want to get married. You don't want to like get into a marriage because you feel like the person you're with is your only chance to get married. Even if like they're not perfect. Not that they're not perfect, but like this is now or never kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like you don't want to be in that mindset at all. And I think that's how she was. It's like at first, I do think she had a healthy desire to be with someone. And that's like normal. Most people have that. But then I think because her age as well, I think she was older, right?
I don't remember how old she is. I don't even know how old she is now. So
I feel like she was talking about that.
Yeah.
But she was probably like, okay, now, you're right, now or never.
It's 30-something about
that. And I understand that could probably play a role in that. But at the same time, like, it shouldn't be such a huge role that, like, you compromise yourself and your values mm-hmm. and you don't pay attention to red flags and you tolerate things that shouldn't be tolerated. Like, I'm sorry, lying. I just think that lying should never be tolerated. Like, it's not... lying is a big thing.
Lying
like
is
lying to someone's face. I don't know. Cause I understand that you can lie, maybe little things here and there, but I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm trying to think if I've ever, cause the thing is I'm not, I have a friend who's really, really into just like psychology, like people who got out of prison type of thing. You know what friend I'm talking about. I love her. She's really into like psychological, we'll say thrillers, but there's another word for it. But I can't think of it. And she told me that she watches people who kind of study people who have like Casey Anthony, for example, if people know who that is and people who she suspected to kill her daughter. We don't know the truth. She got out of it. I think she killed her. Whatever. It's not what we're talking about today, but they study people like that who lie. And then like, you can see like your body, they've said your body is not actually meant to lie. It isn't. We're meant to tell the truth. Our bodies, our brain is designed to tell the truth. Hmm. But when we lie, it's like we're literally fighting against our own self to tell a lie.
Yeah.
Multiple times. This guy lied multiple times, which means like he doesn't even know what the truth is anymore. He probably does. He literally doesn't even know anymore. He's had to convince himself that is true in order to say that that's a lie, which is crazy. But
well, you live in his own world. I think
yeah.
I think that he's like we talked about that before, but I think he's a pathological
liar. Yeah, that's true. He's a pathological liar. Yes.
Which is a real, I think is a real mental illness. And unfortunately that's, I mean, that's just crazy to me, but, he's a, guys, that's what I was thinking too. Was I saw someone react on TikTok. He's a professional manifester.
Oh my gosh.
He just believes in his dream life so much that he's trying to manifest it.
He's like, I'm living it.
Yeah, maybe he's an example to us all.
No, oh just my kidding. Gosh, no.
No, because he was, you know.
Watch the story if you want.
Yeah, he did other things that were not okay, obviously. Absolutely. Not just believing in his lies, but a lot more
than
that. But yeah, you know, it's in this case, like, I just don't understand how you can, I don't understand how you can, like, lie like that. And that's just crazy to me. But
right.
Big red flag, obviously.
Big red flag. And so, as you're saying, like, if you're with somebody who's lying to you and you know they're lying, or you're, let's just say you know they're lying, and they're like, oh, whatever, you found, you caught them in lies multiple times or whatever. Yeah. Like, obviously, either go into therapy now and get some help with each other and him and her, whoever, get some help.
Yeah.
And then come back together and then figure some things out. Or if you can, it feels like this is actually a legitimate pattern. Like this is not going to change. Then, like, exit out. Right. But either way, yes, big red flag.
Yeah.
That was ignored due to the desire to be married. And your desire should never be so much that you compromise your values and what you believe and what you want just to be with somebody. It is never worth it that much. It isn't. It really isn't. Like,
don't be desperate.
Yeah. You can love somebody so much, but you, as we've mentioned before, you never date potential. You do not date potential. Mm-hmm. And if the potential of what they're showing you, if what they're showing you right now is not good in a sense of like a lot of red flags, a lot of things that you're compromising for, a lot of things that are like, man, if I were to marry you right now with what you're giving me in this exact moment, I wouldn't feel safe. I wouldn't feel loved. I actually wouldn't feel like this was enough.
Yeah.
Then I think that's important to note.
Awesome. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's different than what a lot of people who come to us are experiencing, you know? And I think we wanted to make that distinction too, because if you're, you know, if you're in that situation, that's one thing. But most of the times what we're experiencing most of the times is the sense of, I have all this fear, but there's nothing wrong with my partner. I have all this fear, but there's literally no red flags. We line 100% their values. Everything is a green flag and everything is a go, except for what I'm feeling inside. That's really the only thing that's stopping me.
Yeah.
And as she mentioned in the story, the switch up didn't happen overnight. The switch up happened already while they were dating. Even how he proposed to her was horrible. Oh, yeah,
that was bad.
Was horrible. It was not even a form of love. It was kind of like, all right, here, I bought this ring. Found out it was on Amazon, whatever. Bought this ring. Here, ready? Like, let's just, like, guess you're my wife now. Like, what do you mean? Like,
you put it down, like the table.
It was,
or something.
Yeah, like something super. He's like, open it. Like, what do you, like, this is not. Anyway, that's just not a way for you, somebody to show you that, like, I really want this. And this is, like, I really treasure you. And this means a lot to me, you know? Anyway, but that's his own tidbit. But very different than what most of us experience. I just want to make a distinction.
Yeah. And I don't want to say, like, you know, I don't want to have people be suspicious of their partner, obviously, because that's very unhealthy. Because trust, and that's also why she ended up where she ended up. But because she did, you know, she gave her trust to him, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give trust to your partner. It's not supposed something that it's not something that's supposed to be earned. It's something that's given. But obviously, he betrayed her trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
the
red flag. Now, if you're with someone and you have a hard time trusting them, but you literally have like no evidence for it, you're just suspicious because of your own, to be honest, probably your own insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because for her, like, she was suspicious of him, but it was nothing to do with her. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't because she was insecure in herself or she was not sure that you would choose her, or, you know. It was more like there was actually like things that were wrong.
Mm.
It was not just out of her own insecurities of like looking out for something to go wrong.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't looking out for things to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's what you're doing, then you need to stop doing that. Because if you're with someone who's healthy and good, like you are self-sabotaging yourself because you're scared and you're looking for evidence to prove to yourself that, oh yeah, like, okay, I'm probably assuming things, but you might be someone who's believing that you're not lovable, you're not worthy of love. And because of experiences, because of past relationships, because of whatever, maybe you've had experiences of someone who cheated on you before, or you've seen people do that around you. And so you end up in a relationship that's good and healthy. And because you're used to relationships going bad or whatever, you are going to be looking out for like evidence that it's going to be the case for your relationship as well. And because it isn't, it also makes you anxious because you're like, that's weird that like, there's nothing wrong. There has to be something wrong at some point. And you just end up looking out for things because you feel like that's how relationships are in general. And that's what you believe they are, or you believe that maybe you're not lovable or you're not enough. And so you're looking for signs that will confirm that. And that causes your anxiety. And that's different than obviously this guy who said he put an offer in for a house and he didn't, and he's making up lies. And that's like complete a red flag. Red flag always has to do with, I think, with something that about your partner that is wrong, you know, when like anxiety has something to do with you, you know,
right.
It's different.
It's your, anxiety is giving you a perception that's not real.
Yeah.
And that's where, that's about yourself. 100%. Yeah.
And I will say too that, you know, even in that story with Risa, Tisa, you can hear and you can see how, whether you believe or not, God really protected her.
God really protected her.
Because I will say this too, and that talk, maybe that can talk to people who feel like God's telling them to break up with a partner and stuff. Like, God didn't tell her to break up with him. She chose to stay with him. And God was like, you are free to do that. But he still protected her. And he still showed her, like, hey, this is wrong.
Really
this is wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, if you watch that story, there's so many things that could have gone wrong. But it's crazy how she dodged the bullet every time.
Every time.
And without, like, she wasn't trying to dodge that bullet. She was going to dive right in. And God really protected her. And that just goes to show that, like, first of all, it goes to show how much free will we have. But it goes to show that his love goes so much, like, beyond the decisions that we make, that's even if so they're good. Not perfect.
That's really good. That's really good. Because I think that, like, God, man, we can we could do whatever we want, obviously. And God can still show up. And God will still show up because that's who he is.
He's faithful.
Right? He's not going to just be like, okay, you made the decision. Now someone wrote a question and was like, I'm afraid if I choose my partner and because God is telling me not to be with them, I'm going to go to hell. I'm like, okay, wow. Very wrong belief here, for one. And that is not at all God's heart. God doesn't do that. We can choose to do something and God is still going to make his name known in the midst of that.
Yeah.
In the midst of that. If you do watch that series, it's 50 parts. It's a lot, but it's so, I mean, I watch it in 2 days. So it's really good. But there's things that are coming up now that people, you know, detective TikTok people have found some stuff, and God is good because she could have had a baby with him. She could have had a house with him. She could have been like way more financially tied to him, but there's also other stuff out of respect for her. She didn't want to talk about that. And people are suspecting things about him. And if it's true, God protected her straight up because she could have been struggling so much from effects that man did to her. And right now it's just emotional, right? Right now she will get healing from that. But luckily it's nothing that's affected with her body. It's nothing that's affected with her finances. Nothing that's affected with like a child. She'll still love a child. You know what I mean? But there's so much things she did not have to have connection with him at all.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's true.
And so our last point, something I think is really, really huge, which I know that she mentioned that she had a thought of, or belief, will say that what happens in your relationship stays behind closed doors, which I get that perspective because I think it's something I, as an African, like being in a Nigerian household, it was like love is like we keep it behind closed doors in a sense, not like bad things, but even like PDA, it was just like we keep that in between us, like no one needs to see that, whatever. I'm like, okay, but I think we should see that. But that's something she believed. So she never once let her community in on what was really going on. Her family, she's very close to her family. She talks to her family every day. Her mom, her aunt, her cousins, her grandparents, her best friends, they never knew truly what was going on. They knew some extent of like, okay, like, oh, she had to go to the hospital or something. He didn't come because he was at work. Found out he wasn't at work. I don't know what he was doing. He was doing other stuff. But like, they didn't know to the extent of like, okay, I found out about a lie and I didn't do anything about it. I think she would have told them and been like, girl, what? Absolutely not. Get out now. You know what I mean? Like, no. And then she got married and then she found out some things and she did tell her aunt. And I think, and her aunt mentioned like, hey, like you guys are not just like dating. You're married, right? Yeah, you got to choose what you want to do with that. But like, figure out what you want to do and stay or leave. Right. Yeah, like, yeah, it's up to you. But it was even like the extent once she found out all that she found out and she told everybody about it, they were in shock because they had no idea what was going on. Yeah. And that was going on for about a year, I guess. They were together for like a year dating and then married, engaged, married.
That's not good.
Right. And I think community is so important. And as we've mentioned, I've mentioned it in like probably a post before. Not every person understands relationship anxiety, right? But they do know red flags, right? People know red flags when they see them. People know like things that are suspect or sus, like, hey, like that's not okay. Like, I don't know about that girl. Like, hey bro, like this doesn't seem like healthy for you. That's one thing.
Yeah.
If you're telling them about your relationship anxiety, that can feel confusing because they don't know what to do with that. Like, everybody knows about relationship anxiety. So it can feel like, oh, if you're feeling doubt, I guess you should leave. That's different. That is not the same thing. If your friend's looking out for red flags, because like your anxiety is not based on evidence. It's based off of a mindset and your own perception. Red flags are red flags and evident. If you have community and they are all loving your relationship, we'll say, and actually see like this is really good for you and things are going really well and you've been open and honest about not your anxiety, but open and honest about what's going on in your relationship in a healthy way, then I think that that's so different than what she's experiencing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. I mean, you know, if you have people of like that you trust around you, I do. They need to be in the loop for what's going on in your love life. Like, because if it wasn't for trustworthy people around us when we were dating, like it would not have been the same for me. Because I had people around me that I trusted and I could talk to about my anxiety and my fears, and they helped me.
Yeah.
And they really guided me. They helped me also broke down like some of the lies I was believing. And and they were also like, they knew you enough or knew of us enough to see that like this relationship is good and is healthy and they work well for each other, you know? So for her, that was a mistake on her part where like, obviously, okay, like you said, there are some people I know I wouldn't have talked to. Like, unfortunately, I probably wouldn't have talked to my parents or about what was going on, or because I don't think they would have understood. Because things that my dad told me too in the past, where I was like, I started understanding. I don't agree with that. I don't believe in that at all. And he still doesn't know what was going on, and it doesn't matter anymore because we're married and we're happy and we're successful and thriving. But like there's mentors I had around me that I trusted and so that was, you know, people that you choose to be your friends with or whatever. It's just so important to have trustworthy people around you and people who can look into your relationship and see if things are good, if things are healthy, and if the person you're with is a good person, you know, they have a different perspective of them. Yours can be bias because of feelings, because of, you know, a lot of things, but with them, they don't really have that type of relationship. They don't have a romantic relationship with them at all. So they see it differently with a more objective view. And I think that's really, really important. And that's something that obviously she should have done from the start, is having people in, especially because she said, I mean, those people are trustworthy to her. But that's obviously my opinion, but I just think that it's so important.
Totally. Because I think if they would have been, that would have been probably a clear out if they would have been like, girl, no, absolutely not. Like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not who you are, and is not who is for you.
Yeah.
In that situation. because obviously I told people about, I told, honestly, during the whole time we were experiencing what we were experiencing, I probably told two people what was happening. And one was obviously really, really helpful. She was like, okay, like, and I told her, I'm like, you know, this is what's happening. I think he's doing better now, but I don't really know, and blah, blah. And she's okay. And I remember during the time we were about to get married, she brought it up again. She's like, hey, like, I just want to just be clear. Like, I know you brought this up, that Matthew was experiencing this stuff. Are you sure that he's like ready to be married and like that this is going to come up again in marriage? And I'm like, I appreciate that question. I told her, but I actually really appreciate that question because I think that means you care about me, that you're looking out for me. And I do think that it's going to be fine. I do think that like, I trust what I'm seeing and I trust him. And I like, I do think that this is going to be good.
Wait, who said that?
One of my friends.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't know. I didn't tell you that. A really close friend of mine. We're not friends
anymore. I know her.
Friend anymore. That's fine. Anyway. Okay. We were really close at the time and she brought that up again. Cause she's the only person I really told, besides one other mentor I had. And the mentor never told me to break up with you. She was just saying like, hey, like protect your heart. Right. That's really what she was saying. Which I appreciate. No one ever told me what to do. They just kind of late. The people I told were really open and hearing me and like, okay, like,
interesting.
Like, where are you at? Like, I hope you're good. I want to make sure that you're okay because your heart matters more to me than what he's experiencing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I appreciate that because those are my friends. And so people who are really going to look out for you is really important because I think that at the end of the day, you want people who care about you and know your heart. If they know your heart and they trust you, I think that that's important. Yeah. And so if you're sharing people what's going on with your anxiety, making sure that that's, like, you don't tell everybody and their mom, you're just telling like a couple people, but just be like, hey, this is going on. I'm just telling you just so you can be in my heart, but I love him, for example, and I want to be with him, but this is what's going on. Yeah. Okay, cool. Send them a video about us and they'll be like, okay, that's helpful. I know it's relationship anxiety now. But anyway, that was the difference. And I hope this was clear and I hope this was helpful just to be able to have a difference of, okay, this was actually going on. This is what an actual walking red flag looks like and what could have been prevented here compared to what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
Very different, probably for the most part, like for what you guys are experiencing. And you can see the difference between how anxiety perceives things and versus when evidence actually presents itself, how that looks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm just thinking about how much God has just been protecting her. I'm just, for me, it's just shows so much about God and about his love. Because it's like, I just can't go past that. Because I'm like, even like, you know, for example, if you were wondering or if you are wondering, like, am I disobeying God by making this decision? And things like that. Was she disobeying God by being with that guy? I don't know, maybe. But at the same time, I know God cares about free will, like he values free will so much. And if, because obviously in some situations you can be disobeying God. And I think that in some things, in some ways that she lived her relationship out, she probably did things that God wasn't for.
Sure.
Was choosing him an act of disobedience? I'm not sure that God saw it like that. Just because obviously he gave her free will. But even in the midst of that decision, like I said earlier, God protected her in ways that maybe at the time didn't seem very good, not very positive. It's not very good. Like when that kind of thing happens to a normal person, you wouldn't be like, God protected you. But I think in that case, it was some kind of protection from God.
Oh, she talks about that.
Yeah.
She's very clear about that God showing up.
And it's beautiful, you know, because it's like, I'd be curious to ask her, like, did you ever feel like you were disobeying God when you were choosing him? You know? But God still, like, blessed her in some way because he protected her. To the point where, obviously, it got to the point where, like, it was kind of, okay, like, you need to leave.
Yeah.
This is just ridiculous. But now look at that. Like, she's even getting redemption from what's going on, because she is becoming like famous.
Yeah. And she got a trip to, if you hear the story, he promised that they're going to go to London. He's like, I got a trip and whatever. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And she's going to London and Paris in a couple of months, which is a dream of hers.
which is awesome. You know, it's like it that goes to show too, like even if she probably had some kind of disobedience at some point, like God still wants to bless her and wants to love her, and he's using her story to bless her out of something that maybe God was trying to warn her, like, hey, like this is not good.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's taking a little bit for you to understand.
Yeah. I think just what you're saying, a lot of people think that if I marry somebody that God says he doesn't want, because we all think that God's saying whatever, he is going to remove his hand from his blessings for me.
He's not
going to
love me.
And he's going to
basically
send me to hell, not love me, not even look at me anymore. He's mad at me. But we can obviously evidently see that that is not true.
Yeah. In this case, you can see
not true at all. God was there every step of the way.
Yeah. His love. There's nothing that can break his love. Like nothing can, that's what the Bible says. Nothing can separate me from his love. And it even says like, when we're not faithful, he is faithful.
Hmm.
And it's like, that this story shows that. Yeah. And we're not saying that like, if you're in a relationship and there's red flags and whatever, you should keep going.
No.
God is still going to bless you. We're not saying that. Because obviously she lived the consequences of her choices.
Yeah.
Like she made a wrong decision.
Yeah, she's still waiting.
And she went through what she went through. She still had consequences to her decisions. Like God was still with her. But he didn't bless her marriage because there was nothing to bless because it was just bad for her. She needed to leave.
There was nothing to bless, right?
It's true. So obviously, you know, we're just saying like if you feel like you're disobeying God and God is not with you in what you're doing, you probably just have a wrong perception of who God is and what his love is, which is something that obviously we love to talk about. But we we'll talk about that maybe a different time, or we probably did already talk about that before.
Probably have, and we'll keep talking about it.
There's so much to say about his love, and I think for me that's also a refresher. This story is a refresher of like, because sometimes it's easy with life to go back into a religious mindset and a mindset of limiting God and limiting his love. And like when you see that story, you're like, oh my gosh, like God is just so good. And his goodness just goes beyond our imperfections and our weaknesses, you know?
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can use everything. It's just whenever we talk about God, I'm always just like, wow. Every time I just get like this, God is so good. That's all. God's always going to conclude that for everything.
We deserve nothing. It's true. All the blessings that we get, we don't deserve them, but he just wants to give it to us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you haven't seen the series, hopefully you can hear this and then you can watch the series and be like, okay, this has nothing to do with me, but you can enjoy a really good storytelling because the storytelling is immaculate. I've never seen somebody do it as well.
Probably
as that.
Do a show or
something's coming. She said she's had a lot of emails. She just has to get to them. So I'm hoping something is coming somewhere somehow, and more is coming with her, even financially. Like, thank you, Jesus, for just blessing
her.
He's blessing her, and it's incredible. Anyway.
That's good.
My
mic died.
Oh,
I don't know if yours is still on. No, it's not. Yours died too, but
okay. Well,
I hope that it's recording on the phone, because if it's not, then
oh no, I didn't know. Well,
we recorded the video for nothing, but we'll see right after this.
We'll see. At least you can hear it.
Yeah,
but either way, we will wrap up. And next week we're going to talk about, I want to talk about a little bit of, I like kind of these kind of like social.
Love is Blind? Is that what you're going to talk about?
Love is Blind. I want to do something about that.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about it next time. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, and this spoke to you at all, don't forget to write a review.
Subscribe. Share.
Put a 5-star rating on our reviews. Subscribe. Do all the things in YouTube. Do all the things in the podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. And we love you guys.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye.